As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey folks, welcome into On to Waveland. It's the Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I am Brett Taylor, joined by Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney. It is, I don't know, is this the worst time to talk about the Cubs this year? I don't know. There's gradations of awful that there were periods in May that certainly felt bad, and then that sweep in Anaheim where it was like, see, even that, here's the thing. When they got swept in Anaheim back in June, and it was like, okay, yeah, this team's going to be a seller this year. Like, that's disappointing. It was, you know, it was frustrating that it wasn't going to happen. But there was a trajectory there that made sense. That was sort of like, okay, it's disappointing, but that's just how it's going to be this year. Okay, you know, on to 24. Of course, they didn't go on to sell. They did very well from there, and we're fantastic until about the first week of September. And now, you know, the trajectory ahead is not the same, even though had they sold off, and you sort of the offseason ahead would look the same as it potentially will now. And yet it feels so different for reasons we talked about in the last podcast and for some big picture stuff that I would love for us to avoid on this particular podcast, because here's the reality. By the time we talk again next, the regular season will be over. Maybe the Cubs will be in the playoffs. Maybe they won't, but there'll be a, you know, a time and a place to discuss that stuff. So we're going to focus a little more on the two losses in Atlanta and the four games that remain for the Cubs, who are now back out of a playoff spot, tied with the Marlins in the standings, but without the tiebreaker, mostly because of games that we lamented earlier this season that the Cubs lost to the Marlins. You know, they're coming back to bite the Cubs. So, okay, enough setup. Those two losses against the Braves fucking sucked. Like, really sucked. And for them to be back-to-back at night like that, I gotta tell you guys, they ruined two nights of mine. And it's my own fault for being this kind of fan who's so deeply invested in this bullshit. But yeah, I couldn't sleep. I just felt awful. Two nights in a row. Just awful. So, that's me.
I sympathize for you, Brett. I used to be that type of fan, and I'm thankful I work in this business now, because it's really helped me disconnect, and that fandom is gone, and I look at it in a completely different perspective. So I don't want to dismiss your feelings or any of that. Like, I personally think Tuesday's loss is just significantly worse in a vacuum, as far as, I mean, you can pick apart inability to add on, bullpen just being in shambles. My biggest issue with the Ross moves were the bunts. I almost always dislike bunts. In particular, I really dislike bunts going first to second. I just don't like those bunts. You know, and I think Jed Hoyer said as much on the radio without throwing his manager under the bus. There are no perfect managers. There are no perfect relationships between front office and manager. But I think that's one where, you know, I'm for the most part, I understand what Ross is doing. I think this is just a philosophical difference that isn't going to be reconciled. You know, like, this is what he believes and these are things that he believes in and he sees value in that. As far as yesterday, Wednesday's loss, what a start by Jameson Taillon that's going to go unrecognized. How about Drew Smyly looking good two nights in a row? I shouldn't say looking good as much as just working out of nearly impossible situations, right? And nearly saving his team two nights in a row only to see things happen that were completely out of his control.
Hey, can I nod real quick on Smyly? We'll get to the rest, but I want to say, because you just triggered it in my mind, you know, it wasn't that long ago when his contract and the fact that he wasn't going to opt out and that he was going to be back next year was like, ah, geez, there's another one. The Cubs, they're going to have to sort of not eat that, but it kind of stunk that this was another one of these pseudo two-year deals. And now I would say kind of back to a place where you're pretty grateful that the Cubs have him available for next year. Because of this swing ability has been really impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, I think another thing fans need to remember and constantly keep in your mind, A, the bullpen is just depleted. We said this last podcast. It was a concern coming into the series. Also, Atlanta is one of the best offenses of the past century, right? Like, I had no clue how they were going to get through that lineup multiple times. I was just watching the game and, like, I don't know how you stop this offense. How did they win any games against this team? I don't even know how it's happened. I was thinking about this. They played five games against the Brewers or against Atlanta and lost three of those games. Imagine if that was a five-game set, Brett, how you'd be feeling right now. Like those were the final two games.
Yeah, right? they were up 2-1.
And they get blown out in the first game, take two in a row, and you're like, whoa, look at this team.
Up 6-0 in game four.
Up 6-0. Right. Final point I just wanted to make about yesterday's game, specifically picking apart moments. It kind of felt like in the moment when Mastroboni couldn't get that run in from third, like, that's going to cost them. You cannot do that against this team. And it did cost them, like, everything. Like, I read Patrick's piece, and Jed's so right. When you pick apart everything after a loss, you, like, everything, like, goes, like, you just forget about it, all these little things in a win. And that's pretty true, I think. Like, you could wash away so many things with a couple wins right there, but every little moment gets magnified. Yeah, those are tough losses. I feel for fans right now because I honestly don't know how you go on from here. But it, you know, four games, Cubs are keeping their heads up. That's clear. They've done it all year. So let's see how it plays out. I don't blame anyone that isn't optimistic at the moment.
I think what struck me in talking to Jed Hoyer is that he hasn't started playing the blame game. Players haven't either. I think this largely is a matter of the Cubs getting exposed. I think you can start with this Braves team that obviously we watch the Cubs every day, and that sometimes we lose sight of other teams. Obviously, we all know the Braves are really good, and I'm not trying to slight Dansby Swanson. We just wrote a story saying how great he is, but, like, was he, like, the seventh best player on the Braves? I'm just talking about, like, if for the Cubs to get to, like, legit perennial World Series contender, like, they just need a lot more. And I think these last several games have kind of, I don't know, highlighted the limits of this youth movement. I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong is not ready for prime time. I mean, I don't know. for a guy who came up for base running and defense, there's been too many mistakes. I don't want to hear about, you know, when Cody Bellinger becomes a free agent. Well, what about PCA? Like, he could be a very good player. He has a ton of potential. There's a lot to like there. I'm not trying to pick on him. But whether it's him or the pitching infrastructure, which has done a very good job overall, there are signs of progress, but it's not good enough. I mean, just looking out there at that bullpen, I mean, what's the circle of trust now? Like, Julian Merriweather? Drew Smyly? Like, it's nowhere near good enough at this point. And I think it's still crazy to say that they're not out of it yet. I mean, there have just been so many of these, like, just epic losses, and they're still not quite out of it. I mean, I don't think the Marlins are very good either. So I do think making the playoffs or not is just a huge demarcation. It is just a way to measure your team. It is a way to, for managers, coaches, front offices, players, like, that is something that's on your permanent record. And they sneak in and then just get blown out by the Brewers. Hey, good season. I don't think anyone's going to be crushing the Cubs if they get bounced out of the first round. But if they tie with the Marlins and don't make the playoffs, it just changes the complexion of everything going forward. It's crazy how just one game could do that, but, you know, that's the business that they chose.
It feels that way to me, too. I know not everyone agrees with that, but that's, you know, I don't know if it's a vestige of us being in the business of having to not create these storylines, but to describe what we've seen. It's just impossible for me not to see it that way, and fair or unfair. I also agree that this series against the Braves, and indeed this whole 3-week spiral, has highlighted where the needs were, where the needs always were for this team. And where the needs are going to be really significant in this offseason. The offense is not bad. I think any time you're facing literally a historically good offense, you're going to look humbled by comparison offensively. But, you know, you look around baseball, the Cubs have an average or maybe slightly better than average offense. But is it good enough to win these types of games more often than you lose them? Or is it good enough to keep tacking on runs, to not have those? I think it was 4 times in 2 games where the Cubs had a runner on third, fewer than 2 outs, and they did not score that runner. I think 4 times in these 2 games. I mean, that's the difference right there. And I'm not saying a team like the Braves never strands a runner. Of course they do. But you need to have fewer margins for error. And this Cubs lineup does not have that. And I think a lot of that is a failing of some of those depth and marginal moves that were made last offseason that they just straight up got wrong. I think some of it's that positionally some prospects weren't ready. Like, that's coming, I think, that they'll be able to do a lot of that internally in the years ahead. I think they weren't there yet. I think some of it even now is, like Mooney said, I think PCA is not ready to fill even the role that the Cubs were hoping he could. And that's no marker on his future. He's 21. He's barely played in the minor leagues even. You know, like, he's super young and inexperienced. So it's maybe not a surprise that he's not there. But it's a highlight of what the Cubs would have needed to happen to be in a better place than they are now. And it hasn't. And I'll leave it at the bullpen, which 2 things are true. They are burned to a crisp right now, and so I'm not at all mad. You know, when they blew the lead, quote, blew the lead like 4 times last night in a single game and blew it the night before, and it's like, yeah, but watch the individual performances, think about the context of who's having to get used in what situation, and it's just like, I don't point any fingers. Even at David Ross, I don't point fingers in this context, because it's like, he's got to use what he has, and it's a bummer that it's played out this way. And I think the failings, if there are some, were in some opportunities to not lean quite so heavily on certain guys at mid-year which they elected not to do, and that's a little bit more on Ross, because there were definitely some like four-run games and what have you where guys pitched and they didn't have to. That's a little nitpicky, but that's part of the job. And then big time, looking at the front office, at what they opted not to do at midseason at the trade deadline for understandable reasons. I'm not blowing anyone up for this, but this is what it looks like when you anticipate that of your 6 to 8 options internally at AAA or recovering from injury or whatever it was, the Cubs had a ton of guys that were potentially coming back or coming up to contribute. A huge list. And none really have. None. I mean, zero. Some guys just didn't make it back from injury at all. Some guys came back and then got hurt again. Some young guys just weren't ready to come up and contribute. And maybe that's bad luck to have so many options all concurrently fail to step up. But I think that it's some of that's planning. And I think some of that's going to be a lesson for next year that the Cubs can't afford to have that happen. And it's really burning them right now. And I don't know. Maybe they can find a way to slough through these last 4 games, win 3 of them, and get into the postseason. But one thing I think you know for sure is a postseason run with this bullpen is we haven't seen a baseball team make it deep in the postseason with a bullpen on fumes.
Yeah, I mean, a postseason run with this bullpen, I don't know how that would be possible, to be honest. There are moves that I feel like David Ross was just like almost forced to make. I think people were criticizing the Javier Assad move, but if you criticize that, then he should have gone deeper on Sunday, because the only reason he didn't go deeper on Sunday was so he could be available immediately for their next... Sorry, that was Saturday. Am I...
Yeah, 2 days down. Yeah.
2 days down. So that was Saturday, so he could be available to start that Atlanta series. That was the thought process there. He was super efficient. It worked out how he wanted. I know Joe Girardi was saying that you don't throw Ronald Acuna pitches down and away, but that's actually where his lowest ISO is outside of up and in.
That was not a bad pitch. It's a pop fly that doesn't even leave Wrigley, by the way. Yeah, but,
Ronald Acuna is a freak of nature also. Like, just having a historic season. I think it's... I'm not going to get too far into big picture, but there are some of these young guys, like Daniel Palencia, who I could see all this experience really helping next year. He looks rough right now, like perfect fastball for Ozzie Albies to just drive in the winning run there. That's not the pitch you want to see.
After he had to stand there for 3 minutes.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with what JD was saying there. I also don't disagree with Ross, with what Ross said after the game. Like, that's a great accomplishment, and he gets to celebrate it. Make the pitch, right? Like, you just got to win the game. You can't come up with excuses. I don't want to jump pile on Pete Crow Armstrong right here, but when I watch him, what I see is a tooled up, like super tooled up baseball like player, like ton of talent there. We need a lot more to make a conclusion on him, but what I'm seeing right now is someone that just doesn't have the baseball instincts or baseball smarts right now. Like, does he have pure baseball knowledge? Like, there's a lot of mistakes happening that I'm like, oh no, like you can't make those mistakes, not in that moment. He almost got picked off at third in the Rockies series when they were trying to either score the tying run or go ahead run in one of those games. Like, it would like, I remember seeing that and I was like, that shouldn't even be an option. Like, why is he drifting off third there? You need a sacrifice fly. It's like, there are some things where he's relying on these insane skills that he has and trying to make things happen in moments when they just shouldn't. You don't do that. But that's, you know, he's likely has a long career ahead of him, and all these things will get ironed out. It's just rough to see in a September pennant race. I forgot my last point. What were you talking? Oh, the offense, Brett. You talked about the not getting guys in from third, and I hate to hammer this and keep repeating myself, but two solo home runs again yesterday. Where are the extra base hits with men on base? It's just they're not happening enough. It's gone again. It comes in bunches and spurts, and it doesn't happen enough. And it just goes to the point of talking about, you look at this Atlanta team and you look at this Cubs team, and they're miles apart, and they're supposed to be. Nobody expected these two teams to be comparable this season. But just look at that offense. You don't need to be that offense because that's a generational offense. But you need more slug in this lineup. That's just the reality of it. I think they've exceeded our expectations offensively. I don't think anybody would deny that. It just needs a little bit more, not a ton more, but you got to keep this group together and then add one more big bat. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the winter. But it just keeps popping up where it's like, oh, if only they could add on. And yes, those. I wish we had a site. I'm gonna. If there's anybody that runs a website like FanGraphs or Baseball Reference that's listening, I wish we could get see runners from third less than two outs and get it by month or by span of time, because Ross pointed it out that they've been really bad lately. I know they were awesome in April, but it's so hard to section that off and see when it all fell off and when they're bad, when they're good. I'm really curious as to how when things go wrong, is that something that really pops up for them that they struggle to do that, which is kind of weird since they're a contact. They're not a high strikeout team. They're a middle of the road strikeout team.
Last night was a perfect example, right? Mastroboni strikes out.
It's just weird stuff. Yeah. And a fastball he hits fastballs. This isn't a guy that can't. So it's just weird. Sometimes it's weird, random baseball stuff. But yeah, that's going to be a point that I'm going to hammer all winter until Jed goes out and gets more power and adds it to this lineup. He's got to re-sign Bellinger and add more. I think it's a must.
I mean, like you guys both said, I don't want to derail this into a big picture end of season wrap up, but I think it's the best way to explain what is happening right now. And part of it is simply the Cubs have lost Justin Steele's last four starts, and he pitched excellent in one of those. He pitched very well the other night. They had a 6-0 lead. And the other two were just clunkers. And that's something that, he's had an amazing season. He did not have an Arrieta-esque finish to it. I guess winning game 162 could also change that. There is still that possibility. But it's what Jed was saying yesterday, the bullpen stuff, Jed is a worrier and a planner. I think he's constantly thinking about what's going to go wrong in depth. He really focuses that on a way that I'm going to have to ask Theo when we see him at the GM meetings, of field of impact and the big names. We've talked about this before. And Jed really digs in on the margins. And as he was saying, it's hard for any bullpen to be in great shape when you constantly have to get 9 to 12 outs a night. And this chain reaction, I don't know exactly when it started, but it's certainly Marcus Stroman's underperformance and injuries contributed to that. Jameson Taillon's just disastrous first half, which to his credit, he worked his way out of. Kyle Hendricks is, a Cubs legend and still very good, but not quite the 7 innings every time guy. And those guys are kind of unicorns now, but all these things have merged together in very spectacular fashion here. And it'll be really interesting to see how they respond, because I don't know, I still haven't ruled out the idea that they could win 4 in a row. I mean, they won 8 in a row when they had to. But it's just, this has been, I think, very eye-opening in probably a good way for the Cubs in the long term, but just brutal to watch right now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Speaking of those four games remaining, so to drill down on those slightly, the Cubs have the series finale against the Braves tonight. The Braves did last night clinch home field through the National League half of the playoffs. That's not quite enough, likely. I don't think we're going to see a hangover lineup tonight from them, but it's conceivable that there's some resting thought process going on now. For a team that like never rests anybody, for it is, again, I hate comparing any team to the Braves because you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. But it is funny, and I'm among these people who kind of hammered the idea that certain Cubs regulars didn't get enough rest the last couple months. I mean, the Braves don't rest anybody, but these are freaking superstar players. I think there's a difference, I suppose. So the Cubs have that finale, you know, winnable game, depending on if Marcus Stroman can throw five innings, you know, who knows. And then how you cover the next four, I have no freaking clue. So maybe you can survive that one. And then the Cubs get the Brewers, and it's something that we have talked about for a couple weeks, that, you know, hey, maybe the Brewers have already clinched and they don't have anything to play for. And that's true. All they have to play for is setting up a postseason series. And so we'll see sort of regular starting pitchers, but they're not going to go deep. They're not going to get pushed. There will be guys resting. So from that perspective, as much as you don't want that to be the reason you maybe sneak in, you know, the Cubs do have maybe an aided opportunity ahead of them, but, you know, and it's not like they weren't close to winning those two games. Can I even allow myself to give those two losses the positive spin of, yeah, but they almost beat the Braves two games in a row. They almost beat a very good Braves team that still had something to play for in Atlanta two games in a row. I don't know. I don't know if I can get there, because that feels like the whole season. Yeah, I know. That feels like the commentary on the whole season that I don't want to have, which is like, almost. That's a celebration. I think instead it's less that it's a positive commentary and more just a reminder that, like, well, you can win games in baseball. Like, that just, it doesn't matter how off you're feeling or how depleted the bullpen is, or whatever. Sometimes you win games. That just happens. So it's not, it isn't impossible that the Cubs could win these four games and make the playoffs, but it's not in their hands anymore. The Marlins would have to lose one for that to even matter. And, That's I don't know. What do you got for these next four games? Like, what are we looking to realistically happen? You know, these next four games.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're touching on there, Brett, when you talk about them being close in these games, it's not to make excuses. It's to point out that, guess what? This is a good team. It's short, though. It's clearly short, and we've been pointing it out since we knew it coming into the season, and it's kind of manifested in slightly different ways, but we've seen it. This isn't a terrible team. This isn't a team that's going to get their butts kicked by great teams on a regular basis, but it's not yet there. There are shortcomings that need to be taken care of in the winter, but, you know, I think Patrick is right. They've done these things before. They've been at really low points. Seeming like it's remarkable how many times they've looked just terrible and like done and cooked, and then they've come back and won a ton of big games in insane fashion. I mean, some of these things, you know, things don't always, you want to point out like the little things that haven't gone their way lately. I mean, there were a ton of things that went their way during their winning ways. One that always goes overlooked is that game at Wrigley against the Cardinals, where I want to say Alec Burleson was up in a game with the bases loaded and saw three straight balls, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And they were all called strikes. It was like a 3-0 count, and he struck out looking, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that went the Cubs.
No, he went deep, he grounded into a double play to end
that's
the inning.
That's what it was, yes.
He should have walked.
He should have walked in a run. You're right. Things have gone the Cubs' way. Things have gone against the Cubs. I think they're going to end up with the record that kind of shows their talent close to it, right? They're going to be around what optimistic people kind of expected them to be. That doesn't mean they're out of the playoffs. I'm not saying they can't. They're done here. So close last night to it going so perfectly for them, right? A couple outs by Mark Leiter Jr. and a big hit by the Mets, and we're having a very different conversation because they're on the precipice then, right? It's crazy how close it is right now. And I know I was thinking about this. A lot of fans don't like the Rajay Davis moment. I love that it happened. I think that was so fun, and looking back on it, it's just such a great story to tell, and it made the moment all the better. And I'm trying to think about that in this moment in that fashion, and how great would it be to write this story of the Cubs constantly have their backs against the wall and they constantly respond. Here's the one thing. It's so much more painful for fans because that ended in less than an hour. You got your resolution. This is days and days of fans being tortured. So it's a little unfair. You can't appreciate it as fans as much because it's just every day, as Brett described starting this podcast, is miserable. It's almost unfair to fans, but this is the
we chose
ride
this.
That is the 2023 Cubs. Yeah. So we'll see if they respond. Right now I'm not feeling I feel like they've run out of magic. And it's mainly what we talked about on Monday. This bullpen, I just don't know how it's going to work out. I also don't think the Brewers are going to let up off the gas this weekend because I don't think they want to face the Cubs. Because I think that I think ideally they'd love to face the Reds.
Oh, fair point.
That's
yeah,
not
going to
happen. But I think they'd prefer to face the Marlins over the Cubs. I just think from talking to people around baseball, people all agree that I talk to that the Cubs are a much better team than the Marlins and Reds, and a team like the Brewers would much rather face those teams. I think the Reds are done pretty much, right? This not that they get to dictate things. The Cubs can come out there and just take those games. That's pretty much what they have to do.
Just wanted to clarify something without sounding defensive or like a know-it-all, because I see a lot of our commenters or people on social media when, we talk about it as a collapse and things like that, and or the Cubs being on the verge or the brink and things like that. And that comes from a place of observing these people in their workplace and talking to them continuously. The silence in that clubhouse the last two nights was just jarring. This is not a group of players and coaches and staffers who are happy to be here. So, when you're covering a team like this, Sahadev knows, learned this very early, kissing people's ass doesn't get you very far. These are people, you can't fool players. Jim Hendry always used to say this. They're very observant. They are very in tune with the daily rhythms of the season and how it is being contextualized. And so to say this is kind of a bonus here or no one expected this is totally insulting to all the work that these people put in day after day, and just the sacrifices that they make in their personal lives to do this at a really high level and get to this point. And so Just something that I had noticed, like in the comments of some of our stories, and I know you see some of this stuff too, Brett. Like, they may make the playoffs and it's moot, but I think it's important as you're watching these games to, like, understand, you know, how much it means to them, which should be, like, obvious, but I think some of the way we think about baseball has just become so detached with, like, you know, the numbers and the math and the kind of big picture rostering that to get this four and not make it would just be absolutely agonizing and would there would be consequences. Again, I'm not saying people lose their jobs, but it just changes the entire complexion of how this organization moves forward.
Yeah, that's a lot of very competitive players and a manager in that clubhouse, because that's partly how this team was assembled. It was partly assembled to be a group of players that sort of had a singular focus on winning games. And like Mooney said, none of them are going to what was the phrase we always used? Happy to be competitive in September, you know, playing competitive games. That is not how they are going to see this, or how they're going to discuss it, or how they're going to treat their offseason if things trend in the wrong direction. I want to offer one last thought as we wrap. Sahad, you reminded me of the idea, you know, with the Rajay Davis home run. I do think of it as a horror moment, because it takes me back to that place, and it was truly awful. But you are quite right that because it happened, it set things up to create what is a truly incredible memory. And it wouldn't have been that way. If they had just held on to the lead and won the game, it's like, of course, the Cubs still win the World Series for the first time in 108 years. We remember that gloriously. But because of the way it actually played out, we got so much more. And I was reminded of that this week because of the Seiya Suzuki drop that ultimately led to the loss in the first game. And of course, what was the first name on everyone's lips as soon as it landed? I got... Yeah. Four texts that second, just with two words, Brant Brown. I mean, I literally got that. And so I understand that that's what everyone was thinking about. And I wrote recently about sort of, I think that's a little unfair to Brant Brown to remember him only that way. And I think the parallels with Suzuki are actually a little overstated. But one thing it did make me think about is people forget when they talk about the drop is... the Cubs did make the playoffs that year, and they made the playoffs that year by virtue of a particularly well-remembered, fondly remembered moment, winning Game 163 against the Giants. If Brant Brown doesn't drop that ball, Game 163 never happens. And of course, maybe the Cubs play it out and lose to the Braves in the playoffs anyway. And it fundamentally changes the way we think about a nice story at the conclusion of the 98 season. I loved Game 163, the pomp and circumstance of it. It's just a wonderful memory that we don't get if he doesn't drop that ball. And that isn't me saying that the same thing is going to happen now. You know, Suzuki dropping the ball, the Cubs lose this, and then, oh, they came back and they won these four games and we're so excited they made the playoffs. It's more just a recognition of how right you are, Sahadev, that we can't know what comes next, and we can't know how and what memories are going to be created through these moments. And I want to leave my heart open, if I could overstate it a bit. I want to leave my heart open to the possibility that I won't reflect on this season in ways that right now, as I sit here today, I worry that of what my thoughts are going to be about this season. Because you just don't know. You don't know how it's going to play out. And I encourage that, I suppose, for any other Cubs fans listening to this podcast and looking ahead to these final four games. Let's just see what happens. Maybe they break our heart all the more, or maybe something truly fun happens that becomes a great memory. This is On to Waveland. It's the Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I'm Brett Taylor. You can read my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That's Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney. Get theirs at The Athletic. You know, this isn't a wrap for the pod. We'll be back with you early next week after the regular season concludes. But it is a marker, last pod of the regular season. So we appreciate you guys listening so much to us this year. And we look forward to whatever comes next. I look forward to it as a fan, but also just as a podcaster, because there'll be fun stuff to talk about one way or another in the weeks and months ahead. So take care, folks. Have a great weekend.